First of all, in John's Gospel, chapter number 3, third chapter of John's Gospel, commencing to read God's Word at verse number 16, a familiar verse from God's precious Word. John's Gospel, chapter 3, the verse 16. Let's follow the reading of God's infallible truth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Verse number 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And then I want you to turn to the first epistle of John, and the chapter number 5, first epistle of John in the 5th chapter. I want to read a few verses from this passage of God's Word, and from verse number 11 down to verse 13. First epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I want you to keep your Bibles open. We'll bow our heads in a word of prayer. Let's seek the face of God in prayer. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy goodness to us tonight to bring us to another gospel meeting. We thank thee, our God, for those that have come tonight. We pray that they'll come not only to, Lord, just to see what's going on, but may they come with an anxious heart. And may there be those tonight in this gathering that have come, Lord, without Christ, and yet go home knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. We thank thee that thou hast said in thy word, I am come, that ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundantly. And O God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that we might, Lord, just exalt the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, for we have none other to exalt. Help me, Lord, as a preacher, to lift up the name of Jesus, for we thank thee that there's power in that name. We thank thee at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We pray for the covering of the precious blood. We pray for the infilling of thy Holy Spirit. Help me, Lord, to speak tonight, endued with that power which is from on high. And so to this end, O God, I take that promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost. Lord, fill me to the uttermost. I take. Please, Lord, undertake for me. I pray this in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want us to look at that verse number 11 from chapter 5, 1 John. It says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Some years ago in the United States of America, a wealthy man and his son, the wife was and mother was gone and passed away. And they were the father raised a son in this very wealthy home. In this home there were a tremendous number of collection of works of art. There were the Rembrandts, there were the Picassos, there were the Remingtons, tremendous works of art. In actual fact, it was the talk of the community because of the collection of art that this one home and one family enjoyed. Quite often in the evening time, father and son would sit there and they would look at the art, and then they would walk around all the paintings that they had. And what an amazing gathering of art there was in that home. And then, of course, the Vietnam War broke out, and That young lad was called up to do his duty, and he went to the Vietnam conflict. And sometime later, that young lad died on the battlefield rescuing another soldier. The father naturally was brokenhearted. This was his only child. He was left now alone in this great home, the place of great wealth. And as the father would look at the arch, you know, somehow that he would miss the presence of a son. He didn't know how he would face life and go on without his child. About a month later, it was coming up to the Christmas time that year, a young man knocked at the door of that man's home. And whenever the man looked or opened the door, he saw this young man standing there. He was dressed in an army uniform. Standing there, he had a large package under his arm. The young man said, "Sir, you don't know me." He said, "I was a young man that your son died saving in the battlefield in the Vietnam War." And he said, "You know, he often talked about you. He often talked about the wonderful paintings that you had in this home and your love of art." The young man said to me, he said, "You know, sir, I know it's not much, but I want to give you this package." The father took the package, invited the young man into the house, and he unwrapped the package, and there was a painting of his son, painted by the young soldier himself. The father looked at the painting, and he realized there was something special, because the young soldier had truly captured the personality of his son. It wasn't a tremendous painting, but he could see his son there, and his heart was touched. He thanked the young man, and the father said, "What can I give you?" He said, "Sir, you can't give me anything. Your son gave everything. For your son gave his life to save me and others." In actual fact, he said he had saved others in that battlefield the day, and he said, "In actual fact, he was carrying me back, and the bullet went through his heart, and your son died. But I do want you to take that." Father took the painting of his son and he put it up in the most special place in the mantelpiece of his home, in that wealthy place. When people came to that home to see all the great paintings, the first place the father took them was to the painting of his son. But you know, like everyone else, friend, probably with a broken heart, that man died. There was nobody to take that place over, and so therefore there was an auction. And naturally enough, there was an auction, first of all, of the paintings. The day of the auction came, and whenever the auctioneer took his place, there was sitting beside, or there in the beside the auctioneer was a painting of the son. Whenever the auction was just about to commence, an auctioneer took the gavel in his hand and he announced, he said, "We'll start the bidding with a painting and the picture of the son." There was start a murmuring across the gathering of people. They didn't come to see the son. They came to see the painting of the Rembrandts. They came to see the Picassos. They came to see the wonderful works of art that was often talked about. And some of them wanted to be able to purchase them and take them home. But the auctioneer said, "No. Who'll bid me for the son?" And you know, there was a silence across that room, and he said, "Would somebody bid me $200? But there was no answer. "Who'll bid me $100? There was no answer. And a voice shouted out, "We didn't come for this. We came for the Van Goghs and the Rembrandts. Get on with the real collection." "No," says the auctioneer. And he persisted. He said, "Who'll offer me for the son?" Finally, a voice from the back of the room. It was an old gardener who used to be a gardener in that place. Just a poor old man. And he reached his hand up and he said, "Sir, I'll give you $10, but that's all I have." He said, "Hey, I've got $10. Who'll give me $20? And another voice shouted to the auctioneer, "Get on with it, sell the painting, and get on with the rest of the auction." He said, "Who'll give me 20? Who'll give me 20 for the painting of the son?" But there's no answer. The crowd started to get angry. Then finally the auctioneer lifted the gavel And he said, $10 going once, $10 going twice. And then he put the gavel down. He says, go on. You know, the people said, well, that's the sun over with now. Now, let's get on with the Rembrandts. Let's get on with the Picassos. Let's get on with the rest of the great paintings. And the auctioneer started to pull his papers together. He said, friends, the auction's over. What do you mean, the auction's over? What about the rest of the paintings? He said, the auction's over. There was a stipulation in the will. I was not to mention the stipulation until this moment in the auction. And the stipulation was simply this. Whoever bought the painting of the Son would inherit the whole estate, including every painting in the mansion. Whoever took the Son got everything. And my friend, tonight, as I read that story, and it was a true story, God gave his Son to die upon the cross of Calvary. And there the Lord Jesus Christ shed his precious blood, and I can hear God say in this congregation of people tonight, and God would cry out, the Son, who'll take the Son? Who'll take my Son? For whoever takes my Son gets everything. And friend, that's what it says here in verse 11. It says, and this is a record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life, listen, is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The first thing I want to draw your attention to tonight is this. God gives, verse 11, eternal life. God gives eternal life. And by that life, friend, I'm not talking about mere existence. I'm not simply talking about natural, physical life. I'm talking about something more than that, because every one of us have life. The very fact we're here tonight, we have life. Oh, whenever you think of the journey of life, what a miracle. What a miracle. The Bible tells us in the book of the Psalms, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The psalmist said, when I consider the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man? That thou art mindful of him, and the son of man, that thou visitest him. The 70th chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, verse 28, Paul says these words, for in him we live, and we move, and we have our being. I was saying to a person this morning, whenever I was down at the polling station, and they asked me how I was, I said, let me tell you, my friend, any man that gets up in the morning is able to wash his face and put on his clothes and walk down the stairs and sit at the table and eat his breakfast. Let me tell you, it's a good day. It's a good day. Maybe you're here tonight and you've taken all the blessings that God has given you in life for granted. But don't forget this, in him we live, and it's in him we move, and it's in him we have our being. You owe it all to God. You have nothing of yourself. And anything you have, friend, you're lent it for a wee while. And then you have to leave it. The miracle of life. God breathed into man the breath of life. And he became a living soul. The miracle of life. The miracle. The meaning of life. You know, life is not measured by its duration. It's measured by its depth. You know, some people have fulfilled more in 20 years than others have in 70. Because they've put much into the days that God has given them. Oh, the meaning of life. Have you ever stood at the side of the cot, friend, and looked into the face of a little child, and you see that little child lie there in the cot? And I think of the First time I looked into the cot and saw my eldest girl, and then each one of the children, you look into their little faces, you see them smile, then you hear them cry. You often wonder, what are they thinking about? What's going on in their wee minds just as they lie there? And then you wonder what lies before them. A journey of life. What mountains will they have to climb? What valleys will they have to walk into? Because let me tell you, my friend, life is not only filled with the mountaintop experiences. Life also has its valleys as well. Oh, the miseries of life. What did the psalmist say? Many even are the afflictions of the righteous. Paul talked about the sufferings of this present time, this present world. What lies before them? In the book of James, the question's asked, what is your life? What's your answer, friend? What's your answer to the question? What's your life? What's your life all about? Some years ago, God put you in this scene of time. You don't know how long you're going to be here, whether it's going to be long or short, but tell me, what's it all about? What does life mean to you? Big car? Fancy house? A bank account? Friends? Let me tell you, friend. Money can buy friendships. Can't buy you true love. What is your life? Achievement? Come on, Dad. When you look at your son, what do you want for him? Yes, you want the best for him. But what is the best? What's the best that your child could ever have? I'll tell you what the best your child is going to have is a soul that is saved from hell. Thank God then they can live for God. A life with meaning. Life with a capital L. Hallelujah. For Jesus says, I give unto my sheep eternal life. He says, I came, yes, to give abundant life, more abundant. Some people says, well, you know, life's just achievement. It's wealth, it's excitement, it's discovery, it's traveling, it's the family. What's your life all about? If this was your last day on earth, friend, and it could be, mine too. And you were asked the question at the end of the journey, what has your life been all about? What have you been living for? Life and its meanings, life and its mysteries. For a long life's journey, there are many things that I do not understand. You know what Jesus said to his disciples? He says, what I do, thou knowest not now. But thou shalt know hereafter. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles seem to fly, will God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why. You know, some people say, you know, if only I had money, I would be happy. You know, the psalmist David is what he said. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm content. I've got the Lord. I sang tonight, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'd rather be his. And I say this honestly before God. When my kids were all small, friend, and people said to me, what do you hope they'll be? I said, listen, I'd be glad if my children swept the streets and that a soul was saved. We're sure of heaven. And they'd get the highest job in the land and go to hell.
And David said, Lord, I don't want anything more. You're my shepherd. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Why? Because I've got the Lord. I've got the Lord. And thank God when I'm down in life's mysteries and I don't understand what's going on. Yet in the midst of that all, friend, I have this assurance that God's in control. That God's sovereignly in control of it all. You say, preacher, have you had your disappointments? Yes, many times, friend. Many times as a preacher, you walk a lonely passage that no one else knows anything about. But I want to tell you, He's always there. I'm never alone. You know what the psalmist said? Yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, when every last loved one has left, can't step any further, and they come to the verge of the river of death, and the soul has been taken out into God's eternity, even in that moment, I'll fear no evil. Why? Here's the secret. For thou art with me. Friend, have you that assurance? That the Lord will be with you at that last moment? Are you sure that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? Are you sure that you're resting in Him? I said a few moments ago, people say, preacher, if I had money, I'd be happy. Read the book of Ecclesiastes, and in the second chapter, we read about a man who had got everything. Everything that money could buy. He built houses. He had great gardens. He had all the popularity of state. And what did Solomon say? I hate life. I hate it. My, if money could have bought real life, I'll tell you this, Solomon had it. Don't let the devil tell you, my friend, the greatest possession is the bank account. I'll tell you this. It might be good to go shopping with, but it won't take your soul to heaven. It'll not bring you one step nearer a heavenly home to the streets of gold. And Solomon said this, I hated life, and yet I got everything. But friend, let me tell you, God doesn't only give you life, and every one of us have it. But look what it says in verse 11. God hath given to us eternal life. Eternal life. And friend, that's the greatest gift. You see, the Greeks had two words for life. One described physical life. And the other referred to something more. Let me tell you, life's more than an existence. God gives eternal life. Life for all eternity. You see, friend, the wee station and wee while you're in this world, that's not the end. In the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews, it says, it is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, don't forget. You're only passing this through this wee journey, friend. Only at best for a wee while.
But remember, you have an immortal soul. And when God calls you from this life,
and your tired eyelids fall down for the last time, and they never open again, and you breathe your last breath in this old world, remember this, it's not over, but life will go on, and on, and on, and on for all eternity. Your existence goes on.
But if you're not saved, it's an existence of eternal death, not life. You say, what is he talking here about? Eternal life. This, my friend, is the life of God in the soul. It's spiritual life. Spiritual life.
You see, the book of Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 says, you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespass and sin. And the unsaved person in this meeting tonight, let me tell you, you have physical life. But spiritually to God, you're dead. Your sin has separated you from God. And you're in spiritual death. In spiritual death. Remember what God said to Adam. God said to Adam, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. But physically he didn't die that day. But let me tell you, my friend, the seeds of death were sown in his body physically. Something happened that day, as God had said.
It says in that same chapter, verse 24, so God drove out the man. He was driven out from the garden. He was separated from God. And that's what your sin does. Your sin separates you from God. And if it's not repented of, and if it's not forgiven, and if it's not cleansed, and if it's not dealt with and put away under the blood of Jesus Christ, then that sin will separate you from God Almighty forever. In a place that's prepared for the devil and his angels. And God calls it hell. But you can have eternal life. You don't need to perish. As for John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Everlasting life. Have you got God's gift tonight? You see, God hath given to us eternal life. Notice that wee word. God hath given, not will give. He hath given. And if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, my friend, you've got God's gift tonight. You have. You're rich. You're rich. You have something that money can't buy. You have a gift from God. And the gift from God is eternal life. But notice the second thought. And this life is in his Son. That's where it's got. The Bible tells us about a young man one day in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. He was troubled about his soul. Now, he was a rich young man because the Bible tells us he had great possessions. And he was stirred in his soul because whilst he had got everything that money could buy and money could give, he runs down the dusty pathway and he comes to the Savior himself, friend, and he falls at the feet of Christ and he looks into the eyes of Jesus, and this is what he said. He said to him, good master, What must I do that I may inherit eternal life? You know, this young man had inherited his wealth. But he knew that whilst he had wealth, he hadn't eternal life. Something was missing. All he had was what he had for time. He had nothing for God's eternity. And if you're not saved tonight, I want to tell you, all that you have tonight is for time. It's not for eternity. It stands you in no use for God's eternity at all. But the Word of God says this life is in His Son. That young man was looking into the face of the One who is life. He was standing in the very presence of Christ itself, who said these words. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And what that young man needed, friend, was simply he needed Jesus. And friend, tonight, that's the one you need. You need the Lord Jesus. You see, the life that is spoken about here is not found in the church. It's not found in baptism. It's not found in obeying the Ten Commandments. It's not by good works. It's not the sipping at the Lord's Supper. It's not, my friend, being religious. It's not found in education. It's not found in science. It's not found in philosophy. It's not in Muhammad. It's not in Buddha. It's not in Krishna. It's not in drugs. It's not in pleasures. It's not in intellectual pursuits. It's not in meditations. Let me tell you, this life is in Christ. That's the answer. Where do I get eternal life, preacher? Jesus Christ. This life is in His Son. That's the one you need. And then you can have all those other things and all that the world has to offer and all the world has to give. And if you haven't Christ, you're lost. And if you die without Christ, where Christ is, you will never be. And I've said it before, it'll not matter tuppence what the preacher says at your graveside, because remember this. Whenever you're lying in that coffin, friend, you're already where you're going. You're already there. And it'll not take a preacher to stand over your coffin and change your destiny, because let me tell you, the Word of God says, as a tree falleth, so shall it lie. And as a man liveth, so shall he die. And if you die without the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no preacher can put hope in your heart or the heart of your families. I remember some years ago, a young man who was murdered in the Troubles. I never forget, I knew the young fellow whenever he was growing up because I was around the same age. I remember well the day that he was being buried. It was a Sunday afternoon. I remember standing outside that church after the service, and we'd go over to the burial place where the young lad was being buried, and his aunt walked over to me and she looked me in the face, and she knew me from childhood as well, and she grasped me by the hand and drove her nails into my hands, and she looked in my face and said, William, tell me, where is I? Where is I? Friend, before God, I never knew that that young lad was saved. I never knew him coming to Christ, but I'm not the judge. And therefore, I'm not the one that consigns people to heaven or hell. I tell you, Jesus Christ is the one that takes you to heaven. For Jesus says, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And thank God, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll never be in hell. And if Jesus Christ is your Savior, praise God, you'll be in heaven. And I had to say, listen, darling, I'm not your judge. I don't know the answer. But if he was saved, he's with Jesus. She looked me straight in the face, and the tears were running down her eyes, friend, and I tell you, they weren't empty tears. They were real. And this is what she said to me. She says, William, if I thought he was in hell, I'd go mad. If I thought he was in hell, I'd go mad. Let me tell you, my friend, and I say this solemnly, those tears were no use to change the destiny of that young man. For it was too late. Mother, shed your tears for your child tonight while there's time. Dad, do likewise. Shed them in the presence of God and bring them to God and pray that God will save them and bring them to himself. Because remember this, that life is in God's Son. And he who hath the Son, he that hath the Son gets everything, hallelujah, that heaven can give. Praise God, that life is in the Son. But very quickly tonight, look at those verse number 12. He that hath the Son hath life. But he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Don't forget the rest of the verse, friend. Tell me, is that where you come in? Honest, be honest. Don't fool yourself. Listen, stop lying to your soul. Oh, well, we'll get this settled some other time. Listen, tonight before God, friend, have you the Son of God as your Savior? Then you have eternal life because that life is in his Son. But if you have not the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, sitting in this very service tonight, listen, spiritually you're sitting in death. You're spiritually dead. You know, away back in 71, for an orange parade down in Dungiven, I was sentenced to 6 months imprisonment in Crumlin Road. I'll never forget the day I went in. I went into the Crumlin Road, and I can tell you, whenever that old judge sitting on the bench said to me, I sentence you to 6 months imprisonment, I didn't feel like laughing. It wasn't a joke. It was real. But when I was in prison, there was a lad in prison who was the last person to be condemned to death in this country, to be hung by the neck until he was dead. He was sentenced to death for murder. But just the day of his death, he was given a pardon. And if you're to go to the Crumlin Road prison today, you can walk into the condemned cell where the man spends his last night. And the man thinks that he's going to take a long journey the next morning to go to the place where he's going to be hung. And he doesn't know this. That in actual fact, that condemned cell, they just pushed back a door. And he has been lying next door to the death cell, or to the place where he would die. And that big lad was lying there in the death cell, waiting for the morning. And I remember down in the cookhouse, he used to work down at the cookhouse where I worked as well when I was in the Crumlin Road. And he used to twitch his neck. And somebody asked him one time, or asked the wardens, why did he twitch his neck? Because they said that the night that he was waiting in the condemned cell, as he was sleeping, could feel the tightening of the rope. He was under condemnation, waiting to die. Now, friend, I want you to turn to one verse. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 3. We read it tonight. And in that verse number 36, listen to these words. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Go back to verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned. What's the next word? Already. And I say to you solemnly tonight in this meeting, as God's servant, in the presence of God tonight and in the sight of God, you are condemned already. And you're waiting for the moment that God will take you from the scene of time. But you don't know it. You don't know it. When will God take you away? But thank God, God has brought you here tonight to hear that he that hath the Son hath life. You can be saved. Praise God, you can have eternal life tonight. And it's in God's Son. I can't save you. Mr. Baxter can't save you. No church can save you. No preacher can save you. But thank God we can point you to the one who can. Listen to this. And his name is Jesus. Do you remember what the angel said to Joseph? Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. And praise God tonight, he can save you from your sin. That's the problem, your sin. And your sin will separate you from God if it's not dealt with. And your sin tonight stands against your soul and condemns you. And one day, if it's not confessed, if it's not repented of, if it is not forgiven, my friend, one day every last one of those sins will rise from the judgment book of God and they'll cry against your soul. Every last sin. The sins that you loved. The sins that you held to your bosom. And yet they'll condemn you and cry for the judgment of God. But praise God, your sins can be forgiven. Here's the last thought tonight. In verse 13 it says this, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye might know that ye have eternal life. Thank God, God wants you to know that you have it. I have eternal life tonight. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me ask you a question. You and I are headed to eternity in the moment of time. Will be taken away. Tell me, have you eternal life tonight through Christ? Or are you sitting here under the judgment of God, condemned in death, spiritually dead? Don't fool your soul, friend. It's too precious. What should it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? For what can a man give in exchange for his soul? And the answer is nothing. There's nothing worth it. There's not a sin worth it, friend, to reject Christ and go to hell. The Son. That's what the old auctioneer cried out. Whoever takes the Son gets everything. And thank God, life eternal is in God's Son. Let's pray. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed tonight.